you open your Bibles to Isaiah 65. I don't know how many of you are familiar with, I try to put it out on a daily basis, at least through the week, the Daily Bread devotion. I remember being in my office, gosh, it's been several months back, and was in the book of Acts, and saw that first church there in the book of Acts, they met daily. And I remember looking up to heaven and going, Lord, why can't we do that today? And there's a host of reasons why we don't. I don't think it's that we can't, it's just that we don't. And the Lord just kind of laid on my heart the idea of breaking the bread daily, not just for me, but for His people, and then for anybody who might come across it on the internet. So I put it out through the email chain, and I try to put it on the FBCO page. This past Thursday, I do what I always do when I come in the office. I get my cup of coffee, I sit down, and I take, generally it's this Bible that's sitting on my desk, and I said, Lord, I know You have a word for me that I need today. I know You have a word for Your people that they need today, and I know that You want me to share Your word. So God, I need it. So give me whatever You want to give me, and then I just open up my Bible. Thursday morning, it fell open to Isaiah chapter 64. So I began to read in Isaiah chapter 64. And I read and I read and I read through all of 64. Normally, when I read God's word in the first thing in the morning, something just comes right off the page. And I'm like, oh, thank You. And then I just kind of meditate and chew on that for a while. And then whatever God gives my heart, I put down on the keys and shoot it out as an email. I came to verse 12 in 64, and I mean, it's a great verse. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us severely? And I thought, I went to chapter 65 and read, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, who walk according to their own thoughts. And those verses just lit up on the page. And I began to write down all my thoughts and send it out as an email. And I thought I was done with that, and moved on to finishing my notes for Mark chapter 9. I know I told you last week we were going to finish Mark chapter 9, and I read the last verse of Mark chapter 9 and decided that I don't think we're done, and did a whole two-page outline and looked at it and was like, yeah, wow, I love this. This is great, God. And went home and went about my business. And on the back of my head, right back here, kept being Isaiah chapter 65. It just kept sitting right there. And something would come on the radio, and I would say, man, that's Isaiah chapter 65. And I was like, wow, it just would not leave me. So one of those things I do yesterday, another time it comes up in my brain, I said, all right, Lord, if You want me to preach on Isaiah 65, I'll preach on Isaiah 65. I don't have an outline. I don't have notes. And I just have what You've been giving me. And so I kind of did one of those things where you throw out the fleece. You know that old story in the Bible where you threw out the fleece and said, Lord, if You want me to do this, then make the fleece totally wet. And everything around it totally dry. He wakes up the next morning and goes out. It's just as it is, and doesn't quite trust God that day. So he goes, God, now I'm going to throw the fleece out, and I want the fleece to be dry and everything else around it to be wet. And wakes up the next morning, and there it is. And he decides, okay, I probably ought to do what God wants me to do. I threw my fleece out, and this morning I have a conversation with somebody, and right back here in the back of my head, that's Isaiah 65. That's Isaiah 65. Oh my gosh, that's Isaiah 65. And God goes, the fleece is wet. I'm like, okay, Lord, well, okay, this time I need one more confirmation. So I'm going to throw my fleece back out there, and this time I need the fleece to be dry and everything around it to be wet. I had no idea what Morgan was going to talk about. If you look right back down there where I was sitting, everything around it's dry, and right below me is wet, tears. All right, Lord, I think I can do Isaiah 65. And then my brother comes over and sits down and begins to pray for me. And he says, Lord, if You give him a message that's on paper, or Lord, if You give him something brand new, just make it be from You. Isaiah 65, church. This is such an awesome message. Look at what the first thing God says. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. God had spoken through 64 chapters in Isaiah to the people called by his name. Israel, Judah. He spoke to them and spoke to them and spoke to them, and they continued to reject him. And now it says at the end of verse 1, I looked at a nation that was not called by my name. You know what that nation is? Gentiles. It's us. Do you understand, church? We don't come seeking God. God has cried out our name. He has called for you and I. And I have stretched out my hands all day long to, and then he names three different types of people, but I don't want to go to there yet. I want us to think about what Morgan just said and what Rhonda said. I thought it was 4 years, and Rhonda says it was 6 years. 6 years of rebelling. 6 years of walking according to her own way. 6 years according of just doing that which, as she described, was not good. And yet for 6 long years, our Father, your Father, our Savior, had his hand stretched out ready to embrace her. Every one of us that has come to Jesus Christ to know him as Lord and Savior, every one of us has that same story. I asked you this morning, what is he taken from you? And I mean, Butchie said, all my trash. For 6 long years for Morgan, for others, for Dale, it was how? 42 years, arms outstretched by God, waiting, just waiting to wrap his arms around us, waiting to embrace us and hug us and hang on to us. You know, I such a small little example in my life, but I have a granddaughter who lives 9 hours away. I can't wait for the next embrace. The last time I went down to Mississippi, she was right there at the window. I was like, Harper! And I walk in the door and I drop to my knees and she runs and embraces me. 30 minutes she wouldn't let go. 30 minutes! I tried, I was like, ugh! It was like it just sucked right back into me. I can't wait for that next embrace. But here God says, I'm waiting to embrace you. And when he embraces us, you know what the Bible says? He never lets go. He never lets go. No matter how long Morgan would have rebelled. 6 years. 6 years. No matter how wicked her ways became. 6 years. No matter how she wanted to walk according to her own thoughts. 6 years. God couldn't wait for her to feel that embrace again. Church, you understand that God is standing there waiting. He wants desperately to wrap his arms around us. He wants us to feel that embrace. To me, that is unbelievable. To know that there is a God who is right there. Not way back there. Not up in the sky somewhere. No, he's right here, ready to embrace us. Wanting. But there's a problem. Matter of fact, there's three problems that he describes in verse 2. I've stretched out my hands all day long to one, a rebellious people. The Hebrew word for rebellious means the same thing that the English word for rebellious means. Rebellion means knowing what you ought to do and choosing not to. Knowing what is right. Now, all of us who have children, especially that have gone through the terrible twos, you got one right now, don't you? There's one that comes into my office every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Her name will remain nameless, but she's the daughter of Thomas and Julian. It's funny. She walks in, she walks down the hallway, she turns, she walks in my office, and I have a little table over in the corner here that has a clock radio on it. I can tell you, Miss Charlotte's little hand has been a million times. She even walks in, walks over to the radio, kind of puts her elbow on the table, turns back to her dad and goes, no, no. And we all go, that's right, that's a no-no. She knows that it's a no-no, right? She knows she's not supposed to touch it. She can even identify that I'm not supposed to touch it. But what does she do? Touches it. That's rebellion. Not doing what you know to do is rebellion as well. And the human, every one of us has the rebellious spirit in us. We're born with it. We are absolutely born with the ability, and I would even say we're born with the desire to rebel. That happened all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve had that little problem with that piece of fruit that they were told not to what? Eat. But they did it anyway. They knew not to do it, but they chose to do it. Rebellion. I wonder how many of us, when we start thinking about our own lives, understand that there is this spirit within us that desires to be rebellious. It even happens in the Christian life because you and I know that this thing right here, this word, this Bible, has things in it that says, hey, you ought to be doing such and such. And then it also has those words in it that says, you ought not to be doing such and such, right? So I want to pick on one just because it is vital. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. I want it to be very simple. I don't want to go into deep theological discussions. I want us to leave here encouraged and equipped. Hebrews chapter 10. In my Bible, by the way, it's page 1914. I don't know if that helps you. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go with verse 24. Very familiar verse. I just want to be very simple with this. The author of Hebrews is writing to a church, a group of people. Evidently, they are Hebrews. And he says this in verse 24. Hey, let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So the author says, hey, let's think about this. Let's come together and let's reason together how you and I can encourage one another, how we can stir one another up to love and good works. Now, if I was writing the Bible, I'd say, you know what, sounds like more fun. Let's get together and let's stir the pot and see how we can agitate people. That just sounds like more fun to me. That's the rebellious spirit in me, right? I love my sister Amber. She taught me a new game last night. Still don't remember the name of it. Rummy Cube? Rummy Cube. There you did. Never heard it before. Kind of like dominoes and Scrabble, if you ask me, only with numbers and weird things. And we had never learned how to play it before, so she let us do a practice round. And I would pull out my little cubes, my little dot, my little pieces of thing, and try. And she'd say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. She changed the rules. Amen. Just would change the rules as we go, you know, to suit herself. That's agitating. Okay, that's not what the Bible says. We are to consider how we can stir one another up to love and good works. And then verse 25, there's not a period after work, there's this comma. Here's the comma in going into verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So Paul says, listen, here's a way for you to stir one another up to love and good works. Here's a way to be an encourager to one another. Here's how you can be encouraged. Here's how you can learn how to love. Don't forsake the gathering. What is he talking about? Don't forsake when the saints gather together. When do most saints, church people, gather together? Sunday morning. We also gather on Sunday nights. We also gather on Wednesdays. Sometimes some of us gather on Saturdays. Some of us gather on Tuesdays. If you read the bulletin, there's tons of times that people gather together. Why do we gather together? We are to be gathering together whenever we gather together to stir one another up to good works, to encourage one another, to exhort one another. That's the admonishment. That's the teaching that the Bible gives us. And then notice what he also says. Do so much more as you see the capital D.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior. Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me.
Obviously, Miss Ruth is surrendering her will to the Lord's, and she says, I have encouragement to offer. I thought that's what I just did.
You did. You guys all, most of you know that I go to Water Gardens on Friday night for Bible study, and I have asked more than once for prayer for me and for them, and I just wanted to encourage you by letting you know those prayers are working. If you've been there, you know that there are those inside and there are those outside. Some of those people that are homeless are still addicts, still have problems, where they are not allowed to come in the building and sleep or be part of the program. But they know what Watered Gardens is. So they have a sense of security about that building. And that's where they come and spread their blankets and sleep in front of the steps, on the sidewalk, around the building, wherever. And they're already there when we get there. And Linda can vouch for me. Friday night, we had an awesome Bible study.
Thank you for answering prayers.